Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom again, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. Now, my name is John Wesley, and for most of you, you are aware that this is a 30-minute program, and I am only one of the co-hosts here. I am a Messianic pastor and or rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing questions that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship, not only with our Heavenly Father, but also with our Savior, Yahushua, Jesus Christ. Now, at this time, I have the distinct honor to also introduce the other half of the talk show, and that is Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi John, for the introduction. I just want to say this is our 66th show, where we will continue to discuss the question of what does it mean that the love of many will grow cold. But it is a blessing to be able to share the truth of the Word of God, and I'll just hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John. Thank you for the introduction.
Okay, you're welcome. And, Father, right now we just hand the show over to you and allow you to just do what you desire to do in this show. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to ask you, Chin, every day to forgive us of our sins, our iniquities, and our transgressions, and to forgive our forefathers on both sides of our family for the generational ancestral curses that normally have an opportunity to try to plague our generation. Father, we cancel their assignments right now in the name of Yahushua, and we thank you for the mantle of authority that you've given us and the anointing that you've given us to fulfill what you desire for this particular program. Have your way right now in the name of Yeshua. Have your way, Father. We allow your spirit to move about the airways, to have control of the spiritual atmosphere, and to fulfill every single chiastic structure of every person that is listening here, every purpose for why they were born in this world. Father, we ask you to begin to release the understanding and the clarity of all of that so that you may be glorified, so that you may be praised in what you do in and through each and every one of us. That is my prayer in Yahushua's name. Well, I'm going to pass it back to Evangelist Tanita so that she can begin to ramp everybody up and give you a clear understanding of what we have said thus far as we begin to go into the fullness of what he's desiring for us from this point forward in this particular broadcast pertaining to this question. Evangelist Tanita, you can go ahead.
Thanks. Yes, sir. Thank you. And so last show, Rabbi was stating the breakdown of how the love of many grows cold. And in the previous shows, he discussed the lust of the flesh, and we were doing the conclusion of the lust of the eyes. And to have us to see that, you know, our desire, we need to desire what Yah wants versus the things that he doesn't want, which would affect his glory. One of the things that Rabbi mentioned was how Adam and Eve were only open to their eyes were only open to the spirit. The fact that the servant, you know, why was it odd that the servant to see in the spirit realm? And Rabbi was stating that you and I created to see and to be aware of the spirit realm. Even though we see in the natural, we're supposed to see in the spirit. Ask the Father to correct the abnormal things in our life. And then Rabbi prayed for us. Wash our eyes with Yah's spiritual aspect. He also mentioned that Yeshua only saw what in the spirit, what his Father saw. We desire to see in the spirit versus not seeing in the spirit daily. The normal is to see in the spirit. He creates new mercies daily. We move away from his glory when we grow cold. And one of the things is the closer we are, the more we will have Yah's fruit. The further away we go, the love of many will grow cold to the things that are important. You had us to read Romans 8, verses 6 through 9, which deals with the carnal mind versus the spiritual mind. And in verse 7, the carnal mind is diabolical against the things of Yah. When you step across the line, you act the way the enemy expects you to act. The lust of the eyes causes the carnal mind to do what the carnal mind will do. You also stated 1 John 5 and 3 about, you know, us not loving Yah. And one of the things you also said that you become the enemy when you believe the lie. The right uncovers the evil. It is imperative to understand the carnal mind is an enemy to us. What you allow in your mind will cause you to act the way you act. Putting our eyes on things that causes the manifestation of things to happen. You also had us to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 4, which deals with the tempter and Yeshua, and how it says, when you stop living by the word of Yah, the tempter can enter your life. Satan only comes to attack when you're at your weakest. You also read Luke 4:13, and this is dealing with the enemy. He comes at an opportune time. The adversary only strikes when all the cards are in his favor. He strikes when you're the most vulnerable. One example you gave us was Eve was the most vulnerable when she believed what her husband told her about not touching the fruit. We must live by truth, and it will protect us. You also had us to read John 8:32, where it deals with, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is a guarantee to make you free. When you know it is the truth and walk obedient to the truth, you are free. The truth and our obedience causes us to be free from sin, iniquity, and transgression. And so I'll hand the show back over to you, Robert.
And where I want to really begin to step into some supernatural manifestation of blessings for those that are listening is to uncover a very diabolical ploy of the enemy that happens every single time. And if we can be, number one, if we can be aware of his attack, and then also understand that that is at the same point of our greatest breakthrough in God, then the enemy will never have us ever again. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to reveal what I believe is one of the most diabolical strategies of the enemy and how he always does the exact same strategy, primarily because we are flesh and that our flesh causes us not to recall or understand or to even discipline ourselves to prepare for his strategic attack so that we can have our blessing. Now, this is how it works. I want to make sure you get this. Now, what Evangelist Tanita shared with you was something that we had shared at least a couple of, a couple of talk shows ago, was that when we are at our most vulnerable state of being, when we are at our most vulnerable state of being, is when the adversary launches an onslaught attack. Now, we know in Matthew chapter 4, we've already been over this, but I want you to see this in detail because this is what, this exact same strategy is exactly what the enemy did against Yeshua, against Jesus. And that was when Yeshua was at his weakest point, remember, because he was fasting, and he was at his weakest point. After his fast had finished, the adversary did not attack him before he started fasting. The adversary didn't start attacking him while he was fasting. But it was after he had completed his fast and he was at his most weakest point that the adversary launched on an all-out attack. When he was at his weakest point. Why is that? Why does the adversary do that? Because what the adversary doesn't want you and I to know is that the point of our miracle or the manifestation of God's blessing to us is right after we get to our most weakest point. I'm going to say that again because that is too powerful advantage, Janita. When we get to our weakest point is when the manifestation of God's power, blessings, and miraculous ability to step in and change every aspect of our circumstance, that's when it happens. So Satan is not creating anything new. But he's trying to bring in a counterfeit of what already is. Satan does not create, Evangelist Janita, anything new. But he tries to counterfeit that which already is. Okay, Rabbi, help me understand how that actually does work in the biblical narrative. Give me some biblical characteristics and understandings and scenarios so that I can get this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of understand the logic of what you're saying, but I still don't get it. Okay. John the Baptist had an understanding of this spiritual principle. And guess what? Even he still didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
He totally understood it. But when the onslaught of the enemy came, he still didn't get it. So if you and I are having a problem getting it, understand that we're in pretty good company. John chapter 3, verses 25 through about 30. I want Evangelist Anita to read John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 25 through 30. And you're going to see that John the Baptist had a total theological understanding of how this works. It came down to working it is when he didn't pass the test. But theologically, he understood it. Most of us don't even theologically understand the spiritual principles that we're talking about right now. And it's that important for us to understand. John chapter 3, verse 25 through 30. Evangelist Janita.
Okay. Yes. John chapter 3, verses 25 through 30. And I'm reading the New King James Version. Then
right,
there
and just before and just before you read, I want to make sure that everyone understands that John the Baptist is talking about brides, because the people saw more brides, more converts, more individuals going to Yahushua, going to Jesus' baptism or mikvah, than that were going to John's mikvah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to question John because they knew that Jesus was a disciple of John in the fact that he did get baptized. So they would have assumed that Jesus would submit under John and not try to do his own thing. And John had to set them straight, but in setting them straight, he gave them a ginormous understanding of the principles of the miracles and manifestations of our receiving God, and indirectly, without ever saying it, why Satan tries to put his counterfeit in front of the manifestation of this spiritual principle. Go ahead and read.
Okay. Verse 25, then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it be given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that was the
okay.
End.
Stop there. Stop. Yeah. Stop there for a second. The latter part of verse 30, the B part of verse 30, is the antidote, is the answer. And that is, at the moment that we have decreased to our lowest level, is the moment that he increases, that the manifestation of God's glory increases, that the miracle manifestation manifests. Why did all of the glorious manifestations happen during Moses' ministry? Yes, he was chosen of God to do it, but the key is not the fact that he was chosen of God. God said he was the most humble man on the face of the planet. That's why he was chosen. That's why the miracles manifested, because he was at his lowest point. The most lowest point of any man on earth was where Moses stayed for the most part. And that's why the miracles always came to him, always manifested through him, always was using him. God always came and gave his glory to him. So when you and I find ourselves in a situation where we are at our lowest point is when the greatest glory and manifestation of God gets ready to step in. This is the reason why Satan tries his best to attack your mind and my mind to cause me or to cause you to fail and fall short of the trust and the belief of God in any whatever situation it is that we're believing him for. And he does this at the point just before the miraculous manifestation of God comes and does what he's supposed to do. This is a pattern that we need to make sure that we understand for the sake of our own miracle, our own manifestation of God's glory, our own thankfulness for what God has to give to and for us. We need to understand this. We also need to understand, and we say and we preach this a lot and teach this a lot, not only in the show but in our congregation and at our college, that when Satan does step in, he must pay seven times what he's trying to still kill and destroy. But we must take him to the just judge so that he will pay seven times But we must also understand and know this diabolical strategy that he uses. Because in knowing and understanding this, then we can apply the truth pertaining to it for ourselves. Imperative that we understand when we are abased, then he, God, Yah, and his desire for us abounds. And Satan knows this very well. That's why his main goal is to step in when the word comes forth, to step in and try to steal, kill, and destroy, to try to pluck the word out before you and I can believe and bring the manifestation into this kingdom realm, in and for us. I want to make sure that that is abundantly clear as we go on with this study. Because by knowing this and then by applying it, because remember, even though John the Baptist knew and understood this, it's the application that is the key. Because when he was thrown in prison, the application was not applied properly. And by it not being applied properly, it caused him to doubt whether or not Yeshua, whom he knew was the Messiah, whether or not he truly was the Messiah. Have you in your life knew that you knew that you knew that God said this or that about whatever it was that he was about to do for you or with you? And then at the very moment of the time of the manifestation of that particular thing, whatever it was, then doubt and unbelief comes in and sweeps you through like a tsunami, changing your viewpoint from a viewpoint of total faith and the fact that God said it and it will be, to something as simple as, I'm not really sure. And it's that I'm not really sure that hijacks your belief and your faith. And by hijacking your belief and your faith, it causes the manifestation of the blessings of God that were just about to happen to be placed on pause in your life. To be placed on pause. Just when you were about to attain. Just when you were about to go across the finish line first. Then the slip up. Then the delay. Then the hesitation. We have to make sure that we understand that it is the violent that taketh by force. Why is that? Because when things like this begin to happen in the 11th hour of the 12th hour of your blessing, you and I have to understand that our fight and flight or flight mechanism, spiritually speaking, gets activated. It gets activated. Now, the violent are going to take the fight mechanism and they're going to fight and struggle their way through overcoming, hello, what is trying to hinder them. Those that do not overcome, well, they're immediately going to take the flight or the fear of and begin to manifest that just before the miraculous miracle gets ready to break through in your life. The reason why you have to get angry, not to sin, you know, like it says, be angry and sin not, but the reason why you have to muster up your anger and your fight is so that you can push through that last little bit that will bring it into this world's manifestation. Many of our blessings are just a few nanometers away from manifesting in this world, in this time. The violent or that spiritual violence that is talked about by Yeshua has to be prepared and ready to manifest when the adversary launches that attack. That's why it's imperative that we understand. And not just understand, but that we activate the fight mechanism so that when the battle begins to rage, that the fight mechanism and not the flight mechanism happens for you and I. When you and I are at our lowest low is when the manifestation of God's blessing is about to happen. But Satan wants you to think that when you are at your lowest low is when he is going to attack. He does not want your mindset on the fact of why is he attacking now? Why is he looking for an opportune time now? He's not looking for an opportune time for any other reason but to attack. But to attack, to understand. That's what we've got to know. That's what we have to really get a full understanding of. Keep our focus on God's getting ready to do something. That's why Satan's doing this. And not, oh my God, he's coming after me again. The scripture talks about in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25, it talks about wearing out the saints. In that aspect, it's talking about wearing out the saints because it changed the calendar, the biblical calendar. But one of the things that we've got to understand is that wearing out of the saints. Hold on just a second.
Call from.
Hey, love, I'm on the broadcast. I'll call you back. But one of the things that we've got to understand about wearing out the saints is he's trying to divert your understanding of the miracle that you've asked for that is getting ready to break through. So we'll go into this in more detail in the next broadcast. Evangelist Tanita, could you tell us, give us more information also just let us know how that individuals can get in touch with us and be a blessing financially to us if they desire?
Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you. And another great show. And I pray that you all have been blessed as I've been blessed, and your eyes are open. And don't forget, you can always go back and re-listen to the show. It's in the archives. Again, the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can email your questions to us at office@bethesham.org. The ministry, of course, is called Bethesham Ministry or Congregation, and our website is www.bethesham.org. That is BETHHASHEM.org. We also have a Facebook page, and that is at www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministries. If you would like to attend our services, if you could please email us at Bethesham@yahoo.com for directions. You may have heard Rabbi mention Zuhl College, and this is where you can go in and have a more extensive study Hebraically into the scriptures. If you would like to attend our Zuhl College, email us at office@bethesham.org. That is office@bethesham.org. And then last but not least, for those that would like to be a financial blessing or consider donating to the show, we're looking for individuals that would like to partner with us even on the radio show. If you would visit us at the website, and if you're feeling the lead or being led by the Holy Spirit to be a part of this ministry, if you'll just go to the website, and that is at www.bethesham.org, and you can click on donate. Thank you, and I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John.
Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for this show. We thank you for the unction of the Spirit that came in the beginning portion of this show. For those of you that are hearing this prayer, attach your faith to it. Expect the manifestation and be violent with making sure that you come against every thought that the enemy would try to bring against you to cause you to fear and to shrink and receive less than what you should be receiving. We thank you, Father, for your glory in Yahushua's name. Amen. Shalom, shalom.